are beautiful. For those of you who may or may not know this, the fifth deadliest cancer is pancreatic cancer, and it receives the lowest cancer funding. To find out why, I have Ali Stunt, the founder of the Pancreatic Cancer Action Group, on the end of this line. Good morning, Ali. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well indeed.
Tell me why. Why does pancreatic cancer receive the lowest funding, or do we not know?
Well, I think it's probably a symptom of the fact that pancreatic cancer has been neglected for a very, very long time. It's sort of been pushed into that category of it's a bit too difficult to deal with. And also it's not received the same sort of amount of attention that other cancers such as breast and prostate and lung, for example, have received. So so that's probably why the funding levels are so low.
Tell me, what is the pancreas and what does it do?
Well, the pancreas is a gland that is about 6 inches long, and it's shaped like a pear lying on its side. Now, it lies in a very deep location in the body, behind the stomach and in front of the spine. And it's actually, you know, although we don't really think about our pancreas very much, it's actually quite an important organ, because it produces digestive enzymes to break down our food. And also, it provides hormones such as insulin and glucagon that control blood sugars, and that helps the body to use and store the energy that it gets from the food.
My a friend of mine, who's sadly no longer with us, was offered a pancreas transplant, and it said the surgeon said to him it would cure his diabetes overnight.
Right.
Is that right?
I can't comment on whether a pancreas transplant would cure diabetes overnight, but I mean, certainly with pancreatic cancer, a transplant really isn't an option for patients. The only curative option that we've got for pancreatic cancer is for a surgical removal of the tumour, and that usually involves taking out either all or the majority of the pancreas, because you can actually live without one, but you will need other medications such as insulin injections to control your diabetes, and also for digestive enzymes, which will help you break down your food and get the nutrients and vitamins that you need from your food.
So do you think maybe because there's quite a lot of diabetes, I think there's type 1, and I don't understand the difference between type 1 and type 2. Do you know?
Well, type 1 diabetes is usually when your pancreas isn't producing enough or any insulin. Mm-hmm. Type 2 diabetes is usually associated with weight gain as we get bigger. You know, the pancreas is struggling to control the levels of blood sugar in there. But, I mean, pancreatic cancer, we're not experts on diabetes per se, although what I will say is that there is a link between diabetes and pancreatic cancer. And if people who get new-onset type 2 diabetes that's not associated with weight gain, then they should, you know, doctors should sort of flag that up as a little bit of an alarm symptom if the patient's also experiencing other symptoms of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to come round to. So in some sense, it's actually vitally important. Is there a test that you can do?
Unfortunately not, no. What we would like to see is a very simple blood test, or urine test, or saliva test for pancreatic cancer. But, you know, going back to this underfunding of the disease means that there hasn't been enough research done in order for us to have such a test. And if we had one of those tests, then it would make the earlier diagnosis of pancreatic cancer a lot more simple. Sadly, with the only way to really determine if someone has pancreatic cancer is for imaging tests such as ultrasounds and CT scans.
Is there any symptoms that somebody may have that may sort of lead to them to maybe suspect that they may have this disease?
Well, the classic symptoms of pancreatic cancer will include things like upper abdominal pain, so tummy pain that's in your underneath the ribs and may be slightly to the right, and that can radiate round to the back sometimes. Sometimes people will have symptoms of jaundice, and that's the yellowing of the skin and the whites of the eyes, and some people will present with very itchy skin as well. Pain on eating is quite often reported as a symptom, and also if people have change in bowel habit, it's very important to sort of note that, and people who have pale and very smelly stools that don't flush away easily is another symptom, and also unexplained weight loss. So if you're losing weight and you haven't been trying, then you really need to go and seek help from your GP to try and understand what the underlying cause is. Some people will actually present with upper back pain, and that pain will be high up in the back and to the middle, perhaps where a lady's bra strap might sit, and that may also radiate round to the front. Sometimes people will get indigestion-type symptoms. Now, of course, a lot of people suffer from indigestion that's got absolutely no relation to pancreatic cancer whatsoever. But if you have indigestion that your doctor is treating with prescribed medication, not over-the-counter, but prescribed medication, and you've been on that for a course of about 3 or 4 weeks and it's still not solving the problem, you need to go back to your doctor and tell them that that medication is not having any effect. And again, going back to the diabetes issue, if you've been diagnosed with new onset, and that's new onset diabetes, that's not associated with weight gain and you don't have a family history of it. And other symptoms, a lot of people find that they're very fatigued and, you know, they're really, really lacking in energy, not just feeling a little bit tired. And sometimes people feel that their mood is low or even they feel depressed.
You know, it's a fascinating, fascinating subject. Is there anywhere we can go to find further information?
We've got a stack of information on our website at www.pancreaticcanceraction.org, and people can give us a call on 0303 040 1770 if they'd like any to speak to one of us in the office.
You were a wee bitty fast with the phone number. 0303.
Yep. 040.
040.
1770.
1770. Can you tell me the 0303 number? What is it charged? Is it free or is
no? Any 03 number is a number that people can call. That means that it's a local rate call, no matter where you live in the UK.
That's
it's actually cheaper for people to call on that type of number than a regular landline number.
Absolutely fantastic. Listen, Ali, thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to us this morning.